May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Return to a place. In Mark 16, in the resurrection story, there's this little parenthesis there where it says that, and Mary Magdalene was the first person that Jesus revealed himself to in the resurrection. Now, last week, as we were walking through Holy Week, we talked about Mary Magdalene from Mark chapter 14. And in Mark chapter 14, for the third time in her relationship with the Lord, we have Mary Magdalene anointing the feet of Jesus with oil. But the chapter 14 passage in Mark, she anointed his head with oil from the alabaster vial, and she shattered the alabaster vial. The first two times she anointed his feet, she poured oil out. The last time she shattered it and anointed his head, acknowledging him as king. And in that passage in Mark 4, when she's being rebuked, and Jesus is being rebuked by his disciples for wasting this alabaster vial of oil because it was worth a lot of money, said you could have sold the oil and give it to the poor, Jesus rebukes them and says, you don't understand what she's done to me. She's prepared my body for burial. That's a really powerful scripture because, as we said last week, is that that oil represented her dowry. That's what a young Jewish woman would have, worth a lot of money. And when she first met Christ, she poured out some on his feet. Then in John chapter 12, she poured out some on his feet after her brother was raised from the dead. But when you get to chapter 14, just before his crucifixion, she breaks it and wastes all of it on him. And Jesus said, whatever this woman has done today, wherever the gospel is preached, will be spoken of. And that the gospel should invoke a heart that responds to him in such love that they'll waste their life in extravagant surrender and obedience to him. Because I believe, again, none of them would accept the fact that they didn't believe in resurrection because Jesus was saying I'm going to be raised from the dead. They didn't really understand that, didn't believe it. And they refused to accept the fact that he was going to die. They'd left everything to follow him. So they couldn't buy into that. But as I mentioned last week, I believe that Mary Magdalene, who stood at the cross when Christ was crucified, was one of the ones who understood at that point how much he loved her and how far he was willing to go in his love. That he was going to give his life up out of love for humanity and out of love for her specifically. And in response, she prepared him for burial. She therefore poured out everything in response of love to him. But the interesting thing is that when you read John chapter 20, the resurrection event in John 20, it says in verse 1, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb. So she comes, she finds the tomb empty, goes back and tells the disciples. Peter and John run. They look inside. They see it's empty. They leave. But she stays behind. And it says in verse 11, Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. She beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head, one at the stone, at the foot, and the body of Jesus had been where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now understand, she, though, knew he was going to die. She didn't have a belief system for resurrection either. Who would? There's no precedent for that. She's known people who died for people because they loved them so much. That's just part of folklore. Every culture has stories of people who died for somebody, gave their life up, but she didn't get resurrection either. None of them did. And she said, taking him away, I don't know where they've laid him. And she said, and then when she had said this, she turned, and behold, Jesus was standing there, And she didn't know that it was Jesus. I mean, it never crossed her mind because, again, resurrection is totally out of her mind. And he said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him that I will take him away." She's still looking for a dead body. And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." And in one of the gospel lessons, he said, and particularly tell Peter, who of course had denied him. Now the interesting thing that's in the Mark passage and also in the Matthew passage, it says that having encountered him, that she was filled with fear and wonder. And in the Mark passage, it says that she was trembling and gripped by astonishment. I like that. And here's the thing the Lord was kind of speaking to me about this morning. Before the resurrection, there's no question that Mary Magdalene loved him. Loved him as much as anybody loved him, maybe more than any of his disciples, maybe as much as anybody except maybe his mom. I mean, she loved him so much, she left everything. She broke the alabaster vial over him. She loved him. There are a lot of people who love him, died for him, but they've still not allowed the power of resurrection to impact their lives. And they don't live their lives filled with holy fear and wonder and astonishment. See, the Matthew passage, it says the Roman soldiers, when they saw the tomb was empty, they were full of fear. But the fear that Mary experienced was a different kind of fear. It's the kind of fear that's full of wonder, the kind of fear that distracts you from yourself and from everything around you, and you're just filled with wonder and astonishment. Resurrection does that. Amen. Because resurrection is all about hope. And people who walk in hope, who live in the power of his resurrection life, its impact on them, they live with a sense of hope and astonishment and wonder at the power of new creation, supernatural life that's being reproduced in them, that's being able to be given away by them. Now think about that. How many times have we all walked in? How many Christians do you know? They're Christians and they love Jesus. They love him. The fact he died for them, they love him. But they're not yet living their life filled with wonder and astonishment. Because the power of his resurrection, even though they believe he's risen, even though his risen life's in them, they've not been filled with a daily hope that his resurrection life in them changes everything, makes everything about their life supernatural. Well, I love him, and I'm just really down. I do love Jesus, but life's just really hard. Resurrection changes all that. If he can raise from the dead, whatever it is you're facing is not hard for him. Well, I love him, this thing in my life, I keep giving into it. Well, if he conquered death, he can certainly conquer that. People who walk in hope, people who live a supernatural life are full of wonder and astonishment. But I know so many believers who love him. And for CTKers, this will probably be part of our Easter series during the next 6 weeks, but on a Sunday morning, but who love him, but don't live in hope. It's like the cross has impacted them, but the resurrection hasn't transformed them yet. Is what you're going through, is that thing that you keep falling into in your inner person, is that thing really bigger than resurrection? Do you know that you actually can have supernatural victory over that in your life? In the immediate sense of the word, you can know the power of resurrection working things out in the situations of your life. Resurrection that can even cause things that look like it's dead forever come alive again.
Amen.
Do you know that you can minister in the power of resurrection? You can give away new creation everywhere you go. You see, if you know that, then you live with a sense of wonder and astonishment. You're gripped with astonishment. gripped with wonder, gripped with a sense of fascination. That's why it says again in that Romans passage that all of creation that's under slavery and bondage is waiting for the children of resurrection who live in glorious freedom to show up and set them free. If you and I aren't walking in glorious freedom, we really don't have much to give away. They're already in slavery and bondage and despair and depression. And if that's what you and I walk in, we don't have much to say to them. Like, what are we going to say to them? You can stay just as depressed, but let's go to church on Sunday. Like, you don't get as much sleep on the weekend, but you're not going to get any less depressed or discouraged. It's our glorious freedom that comes from resurrection working in us that impacts the world, that infects the world. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.